Today on Family Talk.
If we talked about mothers the way our culture talks about dads, there would be a civil war. And you say, oh, come on, Meg, don't be so dramatic. It's just television. It's just magazines. What's the big deal? I don't even watch Homer Simpson and that kind of a thing, so I don't worry about it. And it doesn't have any effect on me. Well, it may not have an effect on you, but you're not the only one watching. Your kids are watching.
Oh, Dr. Meeker is absolutely right. Could you imagine if all of the movies, commercials, and magazines featured moronic moms instead of moronic dads? The backlash would be overwhelming. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we get to enjoy a speech that our co-host Dr. Meg Meeker gave at Dave Ramsey's SMART Conference. During the conference, she made the case for the importance of fathers in the lives of children, as well as challenged the parents in the audience with the characteristics of healthy families. Her talk was so well received, and we are proud to share this with you today. Dr. Meg Meeker is a nationally known speaker and the author of two best-selling books, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and Strong Mothers, Strong Sons. She's been a regular guest on the Today Show, the Dave Ramsey Show, and several other major media outlets. And most importantly to us, Dr. Meg Meeker is our physician in residence and the co-host of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. So here now is our Dr. Meg Meeker as she begins her speech on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
The very last sentences of the Old Testament appear in Malachi. And this is what God says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children, and I will turn the hearts of the children towards their fathers. I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, dads go first, and then the hearts of the children to the fathers. Then God went silent for 400 years. Do you think those sentences were important? You better believe they were important. Are they important to me as a pediatrician? You bet, because my job is to help kids develop healthy emotional, intellectual, physical, and spiritual lives. But we have a problem with God's command. I will send Elijah to you to teach you these things. We have a problem in America today with our dads. And it's not dad's fault. Our dads are under profound attack, primarily by the media and primarily by feminism. I want to give you a peek into what you American dads look like to your average 12-year-old kid.
Now, I'm just an ordinary blue-collar slob, but I know what I like's on TV.
No TV and no beer make Homer something something.
Go crazy?
Don't mind if I do! Are you humoring me?
Yes.
Okay. Wait a minute, that's bad!
Do you understand the problem that we have? Now, it's funny, you know, because we have become accustomed to laughing at funny dads, right? Try to find a nice Father's Day card that doesn't talk about the fact that you drink too much beer and you hog the channel changer, that you're lazy people, you're insolent, you need to be taught a thing or two by your very intelligent 12 or 13-year-old kid. You see? Can you imagine if we flipped that and it wasn't Homer who was the doofus, but it was his wife? Oh, you'd never get away with it. If we talked about mothers the way our culture talks about dads, there would be a civil war. And you say, oh, come on, Meg, don't be so dramatic. It's just television. It's just magazines. What's the big deal? I don't even watch Homer Simpson and that kind of a thing, so I don't worry about it. And it doesn't have any effect on me. Well, it may not have an effect on you, but you're not the only one watching. Your kids are watching. And I will tell you, in the past 6 months, I've probably excused 5 kids from my office in front of their parents because I didn't like the way the kids were talking to the parents, and the parents stood there and did nothing. And I had literally said to me, honey, you need to be spanked. I will not have you talk to your mother like that in my presence. So you need to go sit in the waiting room for a little bit. And then I talked to the mom. The way our children talk about their dads, the way they perceive their dads, talk about a lack of respect. It is phenomenal. There are primarily two reasons. One, me, my generation. I went to an all-women's college in the 1970s. And I remember my colleagues saying, you know what, whatever men have, we want, we're going to go get it. And we steamed ahead, full charge, and we didn't care who got in our way. Feminism did this. And this is an enormous problem. The media picked up on that and realized that there was a lot of money to be made in a couple of ways. One, sell sex to kids and they'll buy anything. Two, make fun of their dads and they'll laugh. But God didn't think this was a laughing matter, did he? Because he ended the Old Testament with those words in Malachi. It's a big deal to God. But why else is the fact that we, as a culture, have tossed our dads into orbit? How many of you dads feel like you come home at night and you really kind of orbit around the family, and your wife complains because you're never involved, and then you try to be involved and she complains that you're not doing things right? You're not talking to the kids, you don't spend enough time with the kids, you just work too much. You know, you're never engaged, you never take the kids to soccer, it goes on and on and on. And so well-intentioned mothers push their husbands into orbit. Here's why this is dangerous. First of all, the research says so. Do you know the number one way to increase a girl of any age's self-esteem? It's not to get her to play the piano better, get her GPA up, or to help her look prettier. It's to have her dad touch her more. The number one way to boost a girl's self-esteem is to receive physical affection from her dad. Studies show that. We also know that toddlers who are securely attached to their dads are better at solving problems. We know that kids who don't have a dad living in the home have a harder time with solid identity formation, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We also know, studies show, you know, we think as parents that when our kids turn 13 and 14, that life for them is all about peers. We have this sense that, you know what, now they're starting to snarl, and they don't laugh at us, and they don't want us to hug them anymore. And I tell dads all the time, you know what, if you've got a 13-year-old girl and you go to hug her and she's like hugging a telephone pole with spines all over it, don't get your feelings hurt. Because dads, being men, go, huh, she didn't like it when I hugged her. I better stop doing that. And they get their feelings hurt and they retreat. But the truth is, life for teenagers isn't all about peers. What influences their decision-making more than peers is something called, this is a study started with 90,000 people in the United States, 90,000 kids. And they found out among those 90,000 kids, the top number one factor that kept teenage kids away from sex, drugs, alcohol, and violent behavior was something called parent connectedness. Parent connectedness. Another study asked, kids, a group of kids, do you have enough time with your parents? Do you spend enough time with your parents? 21% of the kids said, no, I don't spend enough time with my parents. And then they polled those same parents, said, do you spend enough time with your kids? 8% said they don't have enough time with their kids. Do you see what's happening? The parents are the ones retreating, particularly dads, because we don't feel that we're important. Let me tell you something. What I'm saying today, some of the stuff I'm going to say and I'm going to show you is going to rattle you. It's going to scare the daylights out of you. I don't mean to frighten you. I mean to get you to act. If you want your kid to win, if you want your kid to win, dad, spend more time with them. If you want your kid, mom, to win in life, improve that child's relationship with his or her dad. Dads are important in a kid's life because they have what I call authority with a capital A. Now, you know this because you've all been a kid. When you're little and you're two and you're three and you look up at this big giant guy who shaves and who's got a lot of hair in funny places and his voice is really low, he's kind of scary, isn't he? But there's something else going on. You look to him for a lot of stuff. Because you as a little kid don't know who you are. Dads have an authority in every child's eyes. And I often say to dads, every girl, every woman takes one man to the grave. And it isn't her husband. It's her dad. Every woman takes one man to the grave and it's her dad. Why? She either wanted more time to heal their relationship or she wanted more time just to sit with him. That's what authority in a kid's life looks like. I got into writing and speaking many, many years ago because I was very upset about how our culture is hypersexualizing our kids. Sex is everywhere because of the sexual revolution and so on and so forth. I was very upset about this, and medically I was seeing horrible diseases in kids, and not just pregnancy, but, you know, and I live on a cherry farm in northern Michigan with a whole lot of snow and not a lot of people. And I thought I kind of escaped all that ooey-gooey bad stuff in the inner city. I used to work at a teen and a tot clinic. But I came to Traverse City, and I saw that there were terrible physical and emotional effects to kids who were having sex at 14, 15, 16, even 17. So I began to speak out about it, and I began to do some research. And this is probably 15 years ago, friends. 15 years ago, I wrote my first book, Your Kids at Risk. This is what the CDC said. Hang on to your hats. This is the biggest dirty secret in America that you will never find on the cover of USA Today. 15 years ago, 15.3 million people in the United States contracted a new sexually transmitted infection every year. By the year 2010, that 15.3 million went up to 20 million. Okay, you say, that's a lot of adults. Uh-uh. One out of four teenagers, not sexually active teenagers, one out of four teenagers walks around with a sexually transmitted infection they don't know about. And our kids are sitting in schools being told by usually the PE teacher, because nobody wants to talk to kids about sex, except for someone like me. I think it's fun. And I talk to a lot of kids about it. It really is fun because they ask great questions. And you've got schools telling people, oh, just wear a condom, everything's okay. No, it isn't, because condoms don't protect against things like HPV. Hooray, hooray, now we've got Gardasil and everybody thinks we're fine, they're not okay. We have an epidemic on our hands, the likes of which we've never, ever seen. It was not there in 1970, it was not there in 1980, even in 1990. It wasn't until the mid-1990s that we knew what actually caused cervical cancer. Now we know. When we were in medical school, we were told, we just can't figure out where all this cervical cancer is coming from. But you know what? One thing we have found, nuns never get it. So thinking that we're very brilliant medical school in the 1980s, we thought, well, maybe it has something to do with sex. Do you think? And my research showed me that one in five Americans over the age of 12 test positive for genital herpes right from the pages of the New England Journal of Medicine. Another prestigious medical journal wrote an article about what's going to happen to our children if we don't get them to change course, i.e. put the brakes on and not be sexually active. And this journal found that by 2025, if we don't help our kids change their behavior, 39% of all American men and 49% of all American women will test positive for genital herpes. Not fun stuff to talk about, people. But you need to know it because our kids are saturated with sexual messages. And they're not getting help from the schools. So I went and I testified at congressional hearing. We got to do something about this. I went to abstinence programs. I talked to teenagers across the country who, by the way, loved hearing abstinence messages. And I went into public schools. And I felt I was getting nowhere. So I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, I had an idea. If I want to keep girls out of the back seat of some boy's car, and I know how that girl feels about her dad, who she looks at as her hero, all I need to do is write a book about dads, and in the middle of it, tuck in this information. And here's why I think it'll work. Because dads have an authority in a daughter's eyes that moms don't have. It's just the way it is. And I have three daughters and a son. I'm not saying that mothers are not important. It's different. Here's why it's different, ladies. Have you ever had clothing fights with your husband? I hear this all the time from parents in my office. Dr. Meeker, will you tell my husband just to let up on how Allison goes to school? She just wants to dress like all kids are dressing. And he said, no, I don't want her to do that. She goes out to school showing way too much skin, a shirt that comes up to here, a blouse that goes down to here. And anytime I tell her, you're not going to school like that, mom rushes in and says, you just don't understand. This is what girls do. I said, mom, back off. He gets teenage boys. You don't. Your daughter doesn't go to school looking like a prostitute. Dads prevent daughters from doing that. All girls 14 to 17 years of age in the United States have sex they don't want to have, and they say, because they don't want to hurt their boyfriend's feelings. Many people come to me and say, I don't have to worry about my daughter. She's a good girl. I said, those are the girls I worry about. You know why? They don't know how to say no. You know who teaches them how to say no? Dad, right? Your daughter wants to go on a date. Don't let her get in a car with a guy unless you give that man a firm handshake, real tight, and you look in his eyes. And the message to him in that instance is, you mess with her, you mess with me. And most young boys won't do that. Mom shakes their hand, they don't get that sense. You see? It's that dad authority. Let's drill down a little bit and wonder, where is that authority coming from? Because a lot of mothers get very offended when I talk about this. I get hate mail from feminists who say, you know what? You clap for men or say something nice about men and you're anti-woman. I mean, go figure. Oh, who cares? And so you can't please people. You just have to speak the truth. Why is it that dads have this spell over their children? Why? Why is this? It's what I described, a need-based love that every child, son or daughter, feels towards their mom and their dad. They are connected to mom and dad by a need love. They want to hate you, and they kind of hate you, but they can't because they need you. This is why good for us, right? I wrote a chapter in my new mother-son book, and it's called, He's Got a Bow and Arrow, and the Target's on Your Back. Because that's how many of us mothers feel all the time. Let me tell you a secret about kids and love and parents. Kids believe that their mother's love is not negotiable. That they can do whatever they want to us and we can't go anywhere because we're mom. The most fundamental basic need a child has is love from mom. And kids intuitively know I'm connected to mom with this love so I can spit on her, hit on her, scream at her, yell at her. She can't do anything. But it's different with dad. It's different with, even if you are a very faithful, kind, committed dad, your son or daughter perceives that they need to do something to earn your affections. Kids just think that this is what they tell me. that relationship, that father and mother relationship, that need-based love is so strong because kids, when you walk into a room, dad, they do this kind of with moms, but in general because they know we're gonna love them and we're gonna feed them, we're gonna care for them, and we're always gonna make sure they get to bed alive, they feel that they don't have to pay as much attention to us. But when dad walks in a room, watch and see what your 5, 6, 15-year-old kid does. He watches dad's face. And he reads dad's face. Why? Because kids develop their identity by getting clues from you, mom and dad, about what you think about them, feel about them, and hope for them. And when they find those answers, they figure that's who they are, and it gets incorporated into their person, and they become who you think they are. That's how a child's identity is shaped. Now, let me ask you a question. If you want your kids to excel, and I imagine most of you are very conscientious parents because you came to this conference to learn. Well, maybe you came to learn about money and now you're getting earful about parenting, but you're stuck, okay? You're stuck. You can walk out if you want. But kids read parents because they need to figure out life. And our culture says, oh, you know what, mom, dad, it doesn't matter. As long as there's love in the home, life is good. That's not true. Because kids aren't connected to a babysitter or a grandparent unless that grandparent is the primary parent and is acting as a father substitute, or stepdad is acting as a father substitute. Kids don't read other relationships with adults the way they read their parents because they need to figure life out. And more importantly, they need to figure out who they are and how they fit in life. Now, most of you, I bet, if I could sit down at the kitchen table with you and I said, tell me the top 5 things that you are doing to help your child succeed in life, you would probably say, well, I've made sure that they go to the right school. I want them in the right school with the right peers. I work very, very hard to show them a good example. I make sure they're on the soccer team and the hockey team. I want my kids to be busy, but I want them to excel. If they're in the slow reading group, I make sure I hire a tutor so they're in the fast reading group in first grade because I don't want them to fall out of first grade. And, and moms, I always cook organic. I never bring brownies from a box. I always make them from scratch when I bring things to school. So I work very hard at parenting to get my kid to do a whole lot of good things. But isn't that how we parent? Isn't that how we parent? We work really hard to get our kids to do a whole lot of stuff so that they'll end up somewhere really good. So that then they can get married and have kids and work hard to get their kids to end up somewhere else really good. But you see, that's all wrong. Parenting is a lot simpler than that. Great parenting is a lot simpler than that. Because now you know how the identity is formed. Fundamentally, great parenting is about answering 3 questions. 3 questions for your kids. And these are so important, dads, that if you answer them right, you don't have to worry about your kids that much. Don't worry about what football team on, or whether they start, or whether they're doing ballet, or whether they're good at math, or whether they have to repeat 3rd grade. Who cares about that stuff? We're talking character here.
Oh my goodness, Dr. Meeker couldn't be more right. Character must be the priority as we look to raise our kids into men and women who love God and go on to live successful lives. You've been listening to the first part of a 2-part program featuring our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker, today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson. And before we go today, let me remind you of the 2 resources we have handpicked to help you honor and encourage the dad in your life. For every donation we receive this month, we'll say thank you by sending you either my dad's book and DVD on Bringing Up Boys, or Dr. Meg Meeker's New York Times bestseller, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. Either book will honor and encourage the dad in your life. Donate online at drjamesdobson.org or call us 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today. God bless, and be sure to check back in with us next time for the conclusion of Smart Fathers, Smart Mothers, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.